The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, happy Christ the King Sunday, everybody. You know, we had Thanksgiving on Thursday and Black Friday and Small Business Saturday, and today is Christ the King Sunday. What's tomorrow? I bet you know, Cyber Monday. And what's Tuesday? Giving Tuesday. So today is Christ the King Sunday. And unlike all of those other things, with the exception of Thanksgiving, it's actually been around for a little while. Christ the King Sunday. Actually, as far as Christian feasts go, this is a pretty new one. It's just about 100 years old. Back in the 1920s, Christ the King Sunday entered into the church's life as a reminder that Christ's presence, his power, his teaching, and his love is over all of life. That Christ is meant to be the one who defines our work and our leisure, our free time and our play. Christ is the Lord of Christians. It's a reminder in daily life that no matter who we are, no matter what our background, no matter our education or our worldview, our politics, or our family, as Christians, Christ is meant to be the one that we follow. Christ is the one that we are meant to give our allegiance to. Christ is the one who claims us, and we claim Jesus. That's a lovely idea. That's a beautiful image, this idea of Christ defining all of life. And frankly, you know, it's appealing, and that's probably why this day has caught on in Roman Catholic tradition, in Anglican tradition, in Lutheran tradition. But can anybody here, like, just really quickly explain to me why Christ the King Sunday would matter for you tomorrow, for instance? Okay, I see one hand. Thank you, Alan. I mean, yeah, we get the idea, but it's kind of confusing to think about what this means. If I say, what's Christmas about? You can answer that pretty quickly, right? Or what's Easter about? We can answer that pretty quickly. Or even Pentecost, we can answer that pretty quickly. But Christ the King, okay. In fact, at times, I think that the concept of Christ the King can be so large and so confusing that it sort of feels like some of those technology ads that you've probably been seeing on TV that talk about, you know, super high digital, high definition TVs that are Bluetooth enabled and can communicate with your refrigerator, right? I mean, it sounds amazing, but it's hard to know if you need it. It's hard to know if it's actually helpful. It's hard to know if it would actually work in your house, right? It's just kind of a confusing concept. And so today, as we talk about Christ the King Sunday, I want us to back away from those big words and take a minute to try to understand what today actually means. And to do that, I'm going to use a letter. A letter that arrived here at St. Mark's this past Tuesday. Dear Pastor Swore, this past Saturday, so not yesterday, but the Saturday before, we attended the craft fair at your church and had to park on the lawn. After enjoying ourselves at the fair, we went to leave, but our car got stuck in the soft ground. A couple of people tried to push us out, all to no avail, so I sought help from the inside and from a full bearded man. I did not get his name. Full bearded man quickly volunteered to pull us out with his Jeep. Full beard knew what he was doing. He even laid on his stomach on the snow and in the mud to attach toe straps safely to the underside of the car. He pulled us out easily, and when I offered a cash tip, in true Christian fashion, he refused. Please, thank him again for us. As a thankful offering for his effort, please find enclosed a donation to your church to be used in any way you see fit, like repairing the massive lawn divots caused by trying to get our car unstuck before Fullbeard came to help. Happy Thanksgiving and blessings, Dave and Carolyn Daniels. For those of you who don't know, Full Beard is Bailey Gallen. Though I encourage you to call him Full Beard from this point forward. Okay, what in the world does that letter have to do with Christ the King? I think it has a lot to do with Christ the King. Because you see, what Bailey did that other Saturday is he used his skills, his abilities, and his resources not for himself, not for his employer, not for the government, not for his family, but for the service of Christ, right? He looked at that person stuck in the mud and three other people besides that person, by the way. And Bailey offered help. He didn't do it to earn money. He didn't do it so I could embarrass him in church. You'll notice he's not sitting in here right now. He's out with the wreaths. He did it because he serves Christ, the King. And clearly, Dave and Carolyn experienced in Full Beard not just a helpful person, but something about God, right? In Bailey's action, in his willingness to help, they experienced the presence of Jesus. Here's the amazing thing about the presence of Christ, the King. When people see it, they know. They notice when there is goodness and grace and beauty present. 2 Samuel sort of tells us that this morning, right? As David is coming to the end of his reign, as he's writing this final oracle about himself and about God and about his house, he has this beautiful line in there that caught my attention. He says this, "One who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light in the morning, like the sun, rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy lands." David tells us that goodness, that grace, that justice can be seen. We know it when we see it. You all have seen beautiful sunrises and sunsets, right? And when you see it, you know it, and it grabs you, and you are drawn into it. The same is true of the reign of Christ. When people give themselves to others, not for themselves, not for their work, not for their bank account, not because of the government, but because of God, people can see it and they notice it. It's good news. It's good news in the chaos and the confusion of this world. It's like light shining in the midst of the darkness. It's like hope showing up in the midst of despair. I have a feeling that if all of us stop and think of our lives, of our experience of God, we can recognize there have been points where God has shown up, where the reign of Christ, where that goodness and that justice has burst through. Maybe through someone offering a helping hand, maybe through someone praying for you or being with you or walking alongside you. Maybe it's been through truth and love being spoken to you in times of hardship and distress. But here's the thing, when the truth and grace of Christ's reign is present, we see it, we know it, and it is a gift to us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see a beautiful sunrise or a sunset, when I see something of beauty, I usually want people to see it too. I'll go inside, I'll get my kids, even if they're sleeping sometimes, and say, "Look at the stars tonight." Angela loves it when I do that. I'll see a beautiful moonrise and I'll run and I'll get my wife and show it to her. Beauty is meant to be shared, right? And the same is true with the reign of God's goodness and grace made known to us in Jesus. We need to see it, pause and reflect and rejoice in it, but we aren't meant to just stop there. We are meant to share that light. Share that beauty, share that grace with others. Christ the King isn't simply about us stopping and recognizing God's goodness over all of us. It's about us bringing that goodness into the world, into your life, into your daily living. So that's my invitation for you on this last Sunday before Advent, this Christ the King week. I know you thought you were going to do something for Cyber Monday, but instead it's going to be Christ the King Monday for you. Keep your eyes open this week. Watch for the beauty and the goodness of God. And when you see it, tell others. Rejoice in that goodness. Share that gift. Don't let it stop there. Let the light of Christ the King shine in and through you. God knows this world could use some more beauty. God knows this world could use some more light. God knows this world could use some new devotion to Christ the King, not to the almighty dollar, not to the powers that divide us. Use your life to bless and to love and to support others so that they might pause and blink as they look at you, because in you they can see Christ the King shining. That's my invitation for you today. And my prayer is actually one that's taken from our retired bishop, Gordon Scruton. Gordon had a way of preaching far longer than I do, and I'm not going to go much longer this morning. But at the end of services, he would always give a special blessing that kind of reflected this concept of Christ the King. So let's close with a prayer based on Gordon's blessing. May the Lord Jesus, who loves with a wounded heart, be your love forevermore. May the Lord Jesus, who serves with wounded hands, help you to serve others. May the Lord Jesus, who walks with wounded feet, walk with you to the end of the road. Look for the face of Jesus in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet see the face of Jesus in you. Amen.